Now today, boys and girls, we're going to be heading back up the mountain to learn more from our Lord Jesus. Now, if you remember, as we've been listening to Jesus over these last couple of weeks, there are two different types of people up the mountain there listening to Jesus. Now, the first category, or first type of people, are his disciples, those that are following him, those who have joined his royal family and are seeking to follow him. And Jesus is teaching them what it is to live like royalty. And the things he tells them aren't kind of rules that they have to keep in order to be a disciple or to join his kingdom, but they're a way of living which express a dependence on Jesus. It's the best way of living that Jesus is teaching. And he's teaching his disciples this because the way Jesus teaches to live isn't natural to us. So that's type number one. You've got the disciples who are listening to the Lord Jesus. But you've also got the crowd who are there listening to Jesus as he teaches his disciples the way to live. Now, they're not his disciples, but they're listening to the cost of what it is, the distinctives of being a disciple, being and part of Jesus' royal family. Now, only you this morning, adults and boys and girls, will know if you're a disciple, someone who's following the Lord Jesus, or whether you are part of the crowd who are listening on. But either way this morning, as we listen to Jesus, the words he says, let's remember that these aren't rules for us to keep to be a part of the kingdom. It's the best way for us to live as Jesus' saved people, to be a part of his royal and forgiven family. And today Jesus is teaching this, okay? We'll get there. Being a disciple of Jesus means do what you say. It's a very simple point in one sense, but what we're learning is being a disciple of Jesus means do what you say. And to help us, when we say do what you say, we're going to do this. We're going to say yes, yes, no, no. Okay? So let's just say the whole thing together, but remember, after we've said do what you say, we're going to say yes, yes, no, no, because what Jesus is saying is when you say yes to something, then do it. And when you say no to something, then don't do it. So let's say this all together, shall we? Ready? One, two, three. Being a disciple of Jesus means do what you say. Yes, yes, no, no. Very good. And again, this isn't a rule that we need to keep in order to be a disciple or to be part, to gain entry into his kingdom. But this is what it is to be a disciple. And it's because God is like this. That's why. Because God always does what he says. Now, before we can hear what Jesus has to say and see this point from our passage, we need to go back up the mountain. So what we need you to do, boys and girls, adults, you can join in if you'd like to. But boys and girls, on your feet. And I want you to put on your shoes. Get your shoes on. Get your shoes on. Oh, and it looks less cold than it did, but I still think we're going to need a coat. So put a coat on, maybe zip it up, but maybe not all the way because it doesn't look as cold as it did. Maybe get a hat just in case. Now we're going to do some walking. Oh, there's a steep bit coming up. Walk a bit faster. Oh, I think we're almost here. Right, stop. Right, we're ready. We're ready to hear what Jesus has to say. Okay, so let's sit down and let's listen to what he has to say. Now, boys and girls, it'll be on the screen for us. Adults, you can turn into your new Bibles. If you like. Okay, I can't go back on this. So Jesus is speaking, and he says this. It has been said. So we're going to get that one. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath or a promise, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Now, boys and girls, there's lots of big words in our passage this morning, but let's remind ourselves of what it is that Jesus is teaching us. Ready? Being a disciple of Jesus means do what you say. Yes, yes, no, no. And what we've just heard from Jesus is two examples of keeping promises. Now, who here is good at keeping promises? Is anyone good at keeping promises? Two people in our church family. Three people in our church family are good at keeping promises. Would anyone like to share a promise that they have kept? And that doesn't mean reveal all your secrets, by the way. Okay, let me test you out. Let me test you. So stand up if you've ever promised mum or dad or someone at home that you're going to tidy your room. Stand up if you've ever promised that. Courtney, good. Right, now stay standing if your room is still tidy, if you've kept your word. I'm now going to look at your parents and see if they're telling the truth. Right, okay, take a seat. So a few of you sat down, a few of you hadn't kept that promise. Now, here's another one. Stand up if you've ever promised someone at school that you're going to play with them at playtime. Have you ever made that promise? Okay, stay standing if you kept that promise, if you did what you said. Cool, all the staff team sat down. That's not good. Right, here's another one. Stand up if you've ever promised a friend that you're going to go to their birthday party. Okay, now stand up if you went, if you kept that promise. Okay, Glenn and Amy, I'm really disappointed. Right, last one. Okay, this is a bit trickier because actually some of you have stood the whole time. Okay, let's have another one. Stand up if you've ever promised that you'll always be kind to your brother or sister or to a friend. Oh, some of you haven't made that promise. That's not very good. Right. Now stay standing if you've kept that promise, if you've always been kind. Bernie, fantastic. I want to be Bernie's friend this morning. Great, now take a seat. You see, we all make promises, but we don't always keep them. We don't always do what we say. We find it hard, and that's why we need to come to Jesus for help. And as we read, Jesus gives disciples two examples about keeping promises. And the first example, Jesus says, is keep old promises. Jesus says, keep promises that you have made in the past. Keep old promises. Now, much has been said about the first example Jesus gives because it involves marriage. Now, hands up if you've ever been to a wedding. Has anyone ever been to a wedding? Yes, you know what's involved. So God's good purpose, you can put your hands on now. God's put good purpose in marriage between one man and one woman is that it is lifelong. That the two would be committed to each other. And at a wedding, the two getting married make big promises to each other. And often when those getting married, they give rings to each other. They give rings to remind them of those promises that they've made. They don't always give rings, but lots of people today will have rings because it reminds them of their promises. So as I look at my ring, I'm reminded of the promises I made to Rachel on our wedding day nearly 5 years ago. You see, at a wedding, people make promises. Now, none of you are married. You're not married, are you? No, none of you are married. But I'm sure all of you have made promises in the past. And whatever good promises you have made, Jesus says that if you're one of his disciples, you must do what you say. Yes, 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 no, no, no. Now, these verses are really sad in many ways because Jesus talks about divorce. Now, perhaps some of you have seen that happen. Or you know people at school, your friends that have experienced a family breakup with divorce. Now, divorce is when a husband and a wife separate. And actually, the very existence of divorce shows that actually as humans, we don't always keep our promises. And we could talk much about the implications of what Jesus is saying here. But Jesus uses this example because many of the teachers of his day say, well, as long as you give a certificate of divorce, you can forget the promises you made. You can just get divorced. You can separate. They weren't so worried about keeping their promises or being faithful to them. And actually, that's very much true today, 2,000 years on. And adults, this week I was reading in the newspaper that soon-to-be law is this no-fault divorce, which means you can just divorce for any reason. You don't have to give a reason. Now, perhaps as I've been speaking, this has raised some questions for you, and I'd be really happy to talk more about this after service if you'd like to, or Nathan or Rachel will be around if you want to. But the example here is divorce, but it points to all our unfaithfulness. It's just an example. It points to our hard hearts, the fact that naturally we're those who make promises big and small, but don't always or don't often keep them. We end up not doing what we say. Now, I wonder, is that you this morning? Have you ever made a promise and then not been able to keep it? Judging by the amount of standing up and sitting down, I imagine that's true for you. It's true for me. This passage has shown my hard heart this week. Even this week, on perhaps a small thing it might seem, but I promised to phone a friend this week. And then, do you know what? I forgot to phone him. I let him down. It's shown my sin this week. That often I've said I'd do something, and then I haven't delivered on that promise. But here's a question for you. Why is it important for disciples to do what they say?
Yes, no.
Why is Jesus teaching his disciples to do what they say?
Yes, no.
Well, there's loads and loads of reasons that we could give. But the biggest reason is because God isn't like that. So God is exactly like this. God says something and he will do it. And just as disciples, learning to live like royalty means learning to see what the family resemblance looks like. If God always does what he says, then his disciples should be those who do what they say.
Yes, no.
So because God makes good promises and keeps them, we should be the same. Now, I thought we'd test this then. So here's some promises that God has made, and we can see yes or no whether he's kept them or not. So after flooding the whole world in Noah's day, God promised that never again he would send waters to destroy the world. Now, has God kept that promise?
Yes,
he has. What proof has God given to us that he's kept that promise? Go on, Jesse. Yeah, well, he hasn't done it. Yeah, but there's also something else. You're absolutely right. Something else? He put a rainbow. So actually, and it got me singing that song from camp this week, if you know it. Every time we see a rainbow, we should be reminded of the fact that God has kept his promise. He's kept his word. He did exactly what he said. Now, God also promised in Noah's time this, okay? I'll read it to you. It's from Genesis. It says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Has God kept that promise? Yes, he has. He has. And here's a picture of all the seasons we get. And God, particularly in this country, has kept the promise of winter and cold, hasn't he? We see this one a lot. Or maybe not so much the snow. But you're getting the hang of this now, okay? And actually, it's done me a lot of good this week just to sit and reflect on all the promises that God has made and then he's kept, which is all of them. Perhaps you could do that over lunchtime. You could think of all the things that God has promised to us in his word and how he's kept them. Now, here's some other ones, okay? God promised to rescue his people from Egypt. Did he keep that promise? Yes, he did. Here we go. Here's Moses leading the people out. Now, one more. God promised to send his king to save his people from their sin. Did God keep that promise? Yes, he did. God has always kept his promises. And the promise to send Jesus as our savior is the biggest promise he's kept over all. And the reason why is because it was the costliest promise to keep, to send his one and only son into this world to die a death he didn't deserve. For all people like me who don't always do what they say. Now, we don't deserve him to do this for us, but he did it for us because he's generous and he's kind and because he always does what he says. And as Jesus went to the cross, as he died in the place of all those who had come to him poor in spirit, mourning their failings, and admit they don't always do what they say. You see, we're so often quick to make promises, but slow to keep them. And in Jesus, we always find forgiveness for our sins, past, present, and future. You see, being a disciple of Jesus means do what you say. Yes, yes, no, no. Why? Well, because disciples are part of the royal family who are learning what it is to live like royalty, to act like family members. Because God does what he says, being a disciple of Jesus means do what you say. Yes, yes, no, no. It means keeping our promises. Now, we've looked at one example of this, of keeping old promises about things that we have said we will do. And actually, from today, there might be promises which you've made in the past which you need to keep honoring. You need to keep remembering to do them, whether you're young or you're old here this morning. But perhaps you're a new disciple and you're thinking, well, if this is the way I'm supposed to live, then what do I do from this point on? Well, Jesus would say, keep the promises, the good promises you've made in the past. But it means from now saying, I will do what I say. You see, we are to keep old promises, but Jesus says, keep new promises. That's what the second example in our passage is all about. It's about keeping new promises. So when you say you will do something, you will do it. And when you say you won't do something, then you don't do it. That's the whole point of saying yes, yes, and no, no. That we will do it if we say it, and we won't if we say we won't do it. Now, who here has recently been to the dentist? Has anyone recently been to the dentist? Writing this talk reminds me that I need to go back to the dentist, actually. It's been a little while. But when you go to the dentist, and this is true for everyone in this room, okay, whether you're young or old, I'm sure you will make a promise to your dentist. He or she will say something like this. Make sure you brush your teeth every day and don't eat too many sweets. Yeah? Have you made a promise like that to your dentist? Yeah? Now, adults, if you think this isn't for you, let me tell you that it definitely is, okay? My nan, she used to eat those really chewy toffee sweets, right? They came in this blue foil from Marks and Spencer's. And she ate so many of these sweets all the time that she had to go back to the dentist all the time because they kept on pulling all her fillings out, okay? So don't do that, all right? But with the dentist, you make this promise. And when you clean your teeth each day, hopefully, he's looking at Armel. Where's Armel? I know how many sweets this man eats upstairs. When you clean your teeth every day, you're kind of reminding yourself of the promise that you've made to your dentist. It's a daily, ongoing task to keep that promise, to do what you will say. And in this second example, Jesus talks a lot about oaths, like promises, and about people swearing, which doesn't mean they're saying something rude. It's the same thing. It's making a promise. Now, an oath is, yeah, a serious promise. And the only kind of the translation of that, I think, in a playground setting, right, is a pinky promise. Do you guys make pinky promises? Can you show me a pinky promise? Yeah? Adults, don't look at me too strangely. This is a real thing, all right? I haven't made it up for the point of the sermon. A pinky promise. Now, why do people do pinky promises, or why have people made oaths or sworn by something? Well, it's to make it seem more trustworthy, isn't it? If you pinky promise that you're going to play with someone in the playground, what you're really saying to them is, I really mean it. I really am going to play with you. I'm going to keep your promise. Keep that promise. But the issue is, and this was happening in Jesus' day too, that often people would make promises by something else. They would swear by something else. They would make pinky promises. But they did it in order that they could somehow get out of it later. Because in Jesus' day, as long as you didn't swear in God's name, then actually you didn't have to kind of fulfill your promise. But Jesus says, hang on. God's made everything. There's nothing that you can swear by or promise by or pinky promise by that doesn't relate to God. So that's why Jesus says, don't swear by heaven because it's God's throne. It's where he lives. And don't swear by earth because it's God's footstool. And don't swear by Jerusalem because it's the city of the great king. And don't swear even by your head, because you can't make your hair black or white or in some cases grow at all. Very simply, he doesn't say that last bit, sorry. Very simply, being a disciple of Jesus means, you ready? Do what you say. Yes, yes, no, no. If you make a promise, keep it. If you promise not to do something, then don't do it. Now, here's an example, okay? So Holiday Club's coming up very soon. It's only a week's time, Glenn. Just so you're ready. Now, you've promised Glenn, okay? You've said, I'm coming to Holiday Club. You've signed up. You're really excited. You can't wait for the day to come. But then the morning comes, and
you're feeling a bit tired. Can you give me a yawn?
Is that what some of you look now? No.
I just look a bit tired.
And your best friend who was going to come, they're suddenly unwell. Oh, it's really sad. That's really sad. I wanted them to come. And you look out the window. Oh, it's really raining outside. It's really windy. Oh, and you get out of bed, and to top it all off, you've got a bad leg this morning. You're kind of going downstairs. Ah, it really hurts. And now you've got a choice, haven't you? You've promised to go to Holiday Club. Are you going to keep that promise? Are you going to do what you say? Are you going to go despite all the other things that have happened? Now, I know that's a really silly example because it's Holiday Club. You're too excited. You're definitely going to go. But the point is, sometimes we say we'll do something, and then because of the cost of doing it, or because it's not convenient anymore, maybe we don't do it. We don't do what we say. But as disciples of Jesus, he says you need to do what you say. Yes, yes, no, no. As disciples of Jesus, will you do what you say you will do, even if it means giving something up or it costs you something? Now, with both the examples Jesus gives, keeping old and keeping new promises, at times we struggle, don't we? And we fail to deliver on it. You see, doing what we say is easier said than done. And as we listen to Jesus up on the mountain, he shows us that although we might talk a big game, we might make all these pinky promises to our friends, we don't always keep them. Actually, our hearts are hard, and we don't always do what we say. Jesus shows us how far short we fall of his perfect standards to always do what we say. But God isn't like us. That's good news this morning. God isn't like us. You see, we've already seen how God has kept the many promises he's made to us, and this is just a few. We could be here still going through a list of promises God has kept. But as we look at these, we should also be confident this morning of all the promises God has made that talk about the future or talk about now. We should be confident that God will keep them because he always does what he says. He always has, and he always will. So here's some promises, okay? So Jesus promises to always be with his disciples. It's part of our verse for the year, isn't it? And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And this picture here is like a stamp of always. If you're a disciple, if you're a follower of Jesus, then it's like we've got this always stamp on us. Jesus is always with us. See, can we trust this promise? Will Jesus keep this? Yes, yes, he will. Now, Jesus has promised to one day call his disciples home to him, to be with him in heaven. Will Jesus keep this promise? Yes, we know he will. He's always kept his promises, and he always will in the future. Here's another one. Jesus promises that one day he's going to come back as judge to put things right. Will Jesus keep that promise? Yes, he will. Because when Jesus says he will do something, he does it. And so we need to take his words seriously this morning. So what have we learned this morning? We've been learning that being a disciple of Jesus means do what you say. Yes, yes, no, no. This is easy to say and hard to do. We can make big promises with our mouths, but will we keep them? See, as we end, before we climb back down the mountain, please remember that these aren't rules. This isn't a rule to keep so you join the kingdom. This is an expression of kingdom living. This is what it is to be part of Jesus' royal family. And we can do this only as we come to him and ask him for help. You see, if this was a rule we had to keep to get into the kingdom, do you know, none of us would get into the kingdom. We wouldn't be able to, because none of us always do what we say. But for disciples, those who have come to Jesus for forgiveness, who have received life and are seeking to follow him, this is how we are to live, because it is what living like royalty looks like. And as we live like this, people will notice. Boys and girls, as you say yes to things and then do them, and no to things and don't do them, people will notice. It's part of being, as it were, a shiny disciple. People will look on and say, they always do what they say. And hopefully that will give us opportunities to talk to our friends and those who see that in us about the Lord Jesus, who always perfectly does what he says. So, last time, right? Being a disciple of Jesus means do what you say. Yes, yes, no, no. Will that be you? Let's pray, and I'll invite the band to come up while I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word to us this morning. Father, we praise you that all your promises are yes and amen in Christ. We praise you that although we don't always do what we say, we praise you because you always do what you say and you always keep your promises. We thank you that's true for past promises, old promises that you've made. And we thank you that we can trust that you'll deliver on all the promises that are yet to be completed. Father, help us as disciples of Jesus to be those who do what we say, that we'd have opportunities to share our Lord Jesus with others. So, Father, please help us to do that. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.